is. How you doing? How you living? And how are you being? Welcome back to the Power Talk Season 1, Episode 86. I'm super excited for you guys to dive into this conversation. I brought in Mr. Aaron Hind, who is the co-founder and president of Life Aid Beverage. So you guys know, Life Aid Beverage is a company that helps you re-image what you drink. Life Aid is a leading manufacturer of premium, healthy, and convenient nutritional products designed to boost performance and speed recovery for people pursuing active and healthy lifestyles. We got to dive into mindset. We got to talk about different philosophies that he goes ahead and embraces and applies into his business and his success. His story is amazing, and the things that we talk about are even better. So if you guys are going to dive into this, you know I got some requirements, and that's this. One, turn off all the noise, turn off the distractions, turn off everything. That way you can completely hone into this conversation. Requirement number two, make sure that you have a pen and paper handy. That way you could go ahead and take some notes. Requirement number three, when you're done listening to this show, when you're done taking these notes, I want you to go ahead and take action. Implement these strategies to your life, because the whole point of this show is to get you empower of who you are, empower of your business, empower your relationships, and empower of your life. So go ahead and take action, but furthermore, actually execute, because action is cool, but execution is really where it's at. So with that being said, I got one last question for you, and that's this. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Boom! How you doing? How you living? How you being? It's your girl, Nani, and I'm coming to you live with my good friend, Aaron Hind, in the building. For those of you guys that don't know who Aaron Hind is, he is the co-founder and president of Life Aid Beverage Company. Prior to this, he was actually working as a practitioner in a chiropractic facility, correct? Which was actually your facility. I saw it was Hyde Chiropractic. And then you went all in on creating vitamins that people actually enjoy drinking. And what better time now to learn about your health and what could benefit us in this time of COVID-19. So how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, all things considered. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. And are you based in California right now?
I live off the grid. So I'm in Santa Cruz, California, Northern California. I've got 5 acres off the grid. So I was just outside checking on the solar panels, making sure my batteries are getting charged up, getting more wood for the fire.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm based in South Florida. So you guys right now, are you guys like on lockdown? How's it going over there in Cali?
Yeah. We're on lockdown. You know, it's the whole social distancing, everybody's working from home. But yeah, I think we got a couple more weeks and they're going to lift it up. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome, man. Well, I really want to dive into learning a little bit more about you. As I stated, I heard about you from my good friend, Jay. I've seen your products before. And then once I actually heard your podcast, I was kind of like, wow, I'm intrigued by this guy. I want to learn more about him. So if you can, Aaron, tell us a little bit about your childhood. Were you always around entrepreneurs, or were you always around that health field that made you want to be an impact in the health field now?
Yeah, my dad was very entrepreneurial. You know, looking back at my childhood, I grew up fairly poor for the first period of my life. I was actually born in a trailer park. You know, my old man was swinging a hammer as a roofer in the Sacramento heat. It's funny when, you know, I talk to young couples and like, oh, we want to wait till we're in a better position to have kids. I'm like, your kids don't know you're broke. Like, that's the worst excuse ever. But, you know, my dad was always a hustler, never took, you know, any government assistance, and always just kind of worked his way, grounded out, and, you know, was very entrepreneurial and very supportive of us as kids, and kind of always took that sky's the limit type of attitude. And a lot of the, I think, things that we were taught as kids really impacted. I know they impacted my trajectory and where I'm at now, how I think about the world.
I bet. Now, you were working at a practitioner's office. You went to school, clearly. You went to college. You went the whole nine. So where did that entrepreneur spirit grow for you? Where did you really define that, hey, I don't want to do the normal 9-to-5. I don't want to be, you know, locked up in a firm helping people out. I want to do more. I want to expand my mission. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, again, it stems from my old man and just watching him and work through his various businesses and the way he operated. I mean, even in college, in my undergrad, I was an econ business major. I was selling supplements out of my dorm room and to all my workout buddies, and had dabbled in different businesses over the years, most of which weren't successful, but were necessary in my evolution. There were big stepping stones and big takeaways that came from each of those experiences. And my most recent business prior to this, as you stated, I was a sports chiropractor here in Santa Cruz for 10 years. And I saw high-level athletes from NBA and NFL, all Major League Baseball, all the way down to the high school level. And really had a great run with that. And when you reach a certain point, and it was fee for service model, so I can only see so many people in a day. I was,
Yeah.
I always had that kind of hunger for something bigger to affect people's health on an even greater scale. And that's when my business partner and I had this crazy idea to get in the beverage business.
That's awesome. So you've always had that entrepreneur tick about you. And I ask that because, some people, when they get into college, that's their mindset is I just want this 9 to 5 lifestyle. And then they realize they want something more. So for you, it was always that cross point of, I got an e-commerce business. I want to start on different endeavors, but I guess I'll have that safe net, right? So what were some of the businesses that you actually had prior to this that kind of inspired you to get this going? Because I know that a lot of failures actually help you fail forward so you could get that bigger picture.
Yeah, I had, I mentioned the supplement business in college. I had a company called High Nine Enterprises, which made a barbecue fan for charcoal barbecues.
That's awesome.
That didn't go very far, but I learned a lot about, cost of goods and production and that type of thing. I had a company called Pacific Plaztec, where if you see plastic fencing, which around Northern California and farmland, that's all they have. It used to be all wood fencing. Now it's all plastic because the cows can lean on it. It doesn't break. It never breaks down. Lasts forever. I had exclusive distribution rights for the state of California. Went to a couple lumber yards, got a few no's because it was too expensive, and kind of gave up on the business. And obviously, looking back, seeing that product everywhere now. That taught me that I need to have a little bit more resilience and thicker skin. I had an eye drop company for stoners called Irie Eyes Eye Drops, where we sold into over 2,000 head shops in the United States and got
That's
great
awesome.
distribution. But I was very inaccurate about demand for the product and turns, and so that taught me about accurate thinking and obviously the chiropractic practice, and then now LifeSafe.
That's awesome. So you've had a lot of endeavors of being an entrepreneur. This isn't your first entrepreneur rodeo, but this is probably the first one that actually worked for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the first, real one, so to speak. I mean, all the other ones were very necessary because you learned something from them. Irie Eyes made some good money. Obviously, I did really well as a sports chiropractor. Irie Eyes did make money, and that was kind of a fun little side project. Nothing to live on full time though.
Yeah.
This was the first, I'd say, real entrepreneurial venture that has gotten traction and some financing from private equity and
That's
lots of
awesome.
employees and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's awesome. So congrats to you for doing that, man. And my question to you is, what have you enjoyed most about being an entrepreneur, and what has been probably the most difficult thing about being an entrepreneur?
The thing I enjoy most is up-leveling my game. I mean, when I converse with my mentors and other entrepreneurs, especially the folks that have been around the block a few times, they always have that hunger for the game. And having now, I'm in my mid-40s and been around a little while, I totally get it. The ability to up-level your game, the circles that you get to hang out with, the people you have access to, the experiences that you're privy to, it's a pretty amazing experience. Set aside the financial impact of being, independent and entrepreneurial. I'd say that, the biggest challenge is always, and it's also what adds the excitement, you eat what you kill. There is no check that's guaranteed. If you're not producing, if you're not aligning all the 100 variables that it takes to have a successful business, one of those things out of alignment can make the whole thing fail and implode. So just the pressure level being so high, it takes a certain personality type to thrive in that type of environment. And we're seeing that right now, you know, this is kind of separating, you know, the men from the boys, so to speak, as far as business is concerned, because things were so good for the last 10 years. It was I don't want to say it's easy. It's never easy, but the market was
a little more challenging now.
Yeah, a little more challenging.
No, definitely. And I love that you say that because it's true, right? A lot of people, they think they're an entrepreneur until push comes to shove, until you have to be innovative with your business, until you have to come up with different solutions and different problems and things come up. And one of my mentors always say that entrepreneurship is probably one of the best personal development programs that you'll go through. Because one, you're putting yourself through a ringer, and you're also going to have to teach yourself how to get out that ringer, not to break down, not to give up, and not to sell your will. So I really love that you say that. And what would you say has been your four core values that you've been carrying with yourself in business? And for me, I think if you have the same values in business, you got to have them in life, because that's the same person. You know what I mean? So what are your four?
Yeah, I follow an acronym for that that I, you know, thought of a couple years back, and it really drives my life and my decision making process. I call it the ATM of life. We go to the ATM machine to get out money. I call it the ATM of life, meaning if you follow this acronym, life will continue to pay dividends time and time again, guaranteed. The A stands for alignment. You have to have alignment, starting with yourself, meaning what are you doing when no one else is looking? Hmm. What if everything you did, all of your actions, everything you did, everything you said, showed up on the front page of the New York Times? Would you be okay with that? You know, so I think a lot of people, especially in the age of social media and everything, you see this certain thing in on social, but the reality of that individual is something totally different. Yeah. And so having alignment, having that congruency between, you know, the outward facing and what's really going on, allows you to have then alignment with your spouse, your business partner, your significant other, your team, et cetera. Okay. But it starts with yourself. The T is focusing on trajectory over velocity. You know, so often when I'm working with young entrepreneurs, they're so focused on velocity. It's like, how fast is things happening? You know, oh gosh, I want to already be retired and have my own private jet. I'm like, dude, I've been going at this thing for, you know, 35 years now. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, I mean, anything worthwhile is a process, and all processes take time. All processes take time. So focus on continuing to do the right things, because it's the right thing to do time and time again. Get on a positive trajectory and don't worry about how fast it comes, because I'll tell you what, you do the right things over time, you will get a break. You'll get that account. You'll get that financing, whenever that happens, then it'll excel the velocity. Okay. So we've all had friends, you know, that their uncle died or whatever, and they were on a bad trajectory, a negative trajectory. Remember, they were hooked on some drugs, or, you know, just making bad decisions. What happens when they get that quote unquote lucky break? They just crash and burn even faster. So, you know, hoping that things happen at an accelerated rate is not the way we should be approaching things. Making sure that we're doing the right things, and over time, it will pay dividends, I promise you. And then the M stands, you know, really for momentum. Once we have momentum in life, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be, you know, with our relationships, we need to continue to fuel that momentum and add to that momentum. Relationships is an easy thing to relate this to. You know, when you first meet, you know, you're on cloud nine. Yeah, you're on cloud nine. You're buying flowers. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I'm buying flowers. I'm writing handwritten cute notes. I'm leaving voicemails, I'm singing, I'm doing all these things. And then after, you know, a few years, you start taking those things for granted, and you stop doing all those little things. And when you stop doing all those little things, you crush momentum, and then you have the talk, and nobody wants to have the talk, right? So it's much easier, and it's better for everybody involved to not only maintain that momentum, continue to do all those little things, but then think, how can I fuel this? Same thing in business. You know, when we're doing all those things and we're just firing and we're in flow state and the business is rocking, it's because we're doing a lot of things, all the little things that may not be scalable, Yeah. I heard a quote recently. Sometimes to scale, we have to do things that are unscalable. Yeah. We do that all the time at LifeFit. We do lots of things that aren't scalable in order to scale. But it's like those little things that all add up to create and maintain and promote more momentum.
Man, if you're listening to this right now, if you're watching it live on YouTube, when this ends, run it back. And if you're listening to this in your car right now, I want you to go ahead and run that back because that was amazing. And it's so true. Like, not only did I get the ATM points, but when then you explaining it, there were so many gems with it. So one thing that I want to touch on is what you said. So many entrepreneurs, yes, you listening to this right now, you want to scale so fast, but you're not worried about your infrastructure. And I think that a lot of people think that the foundation doesn't matter, that, you know, if we build it, they'll come. That's a really bad mentality to have as an entrepreneur. And I say that because I've had 3 businesses. This is my second one. And I am someone that was like, scale, scale, scale. But I didn't have a backbone with it. So I love that you say that. My pastor always says that he doesn't care about how big it is. He cares about the strength of it. So I love that you touched on that point. And one question that I want to ask you is, how many employees do you have right now with LifeAid Beverage Company? Are you working of over 500 employees? Because then I want to go diving into just some leadership questions with you.
Yeah, no, we don't have 500. Fortunately, you know, in our type of business, it's not a business that would ever require 500. You know, we use 3PL warehouses for some of our shipping and logistics. We have contract manufacturers. Employees.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Can you repeat that for me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It just sounded like something was buzzing.
Oh, sorry. We have about 75, I think, total right now. I should know the exact number. I don't, but it's somewhere between 70 and 80. I think it's around 75.
That's awesome because you still could build a culture out of it, right? Whether you have 3 employees, 10 employees, 75, the whole nine, it's all about culture and cultivating it. So my question to you as a business owner and someone that has had several businesses, how do you cultivate culture when it comes to your environment? Just like you said, it's not your typical type of business, but that doesn't mean that you still can't keep the culture going and the momentum going. So how do you cultivate culture within your business? And what's a way an entrepreneur can do the same thing so they can not only thrive in their business, but they can also thrive outside of their business as a leader?
Yeah, you got to realize culture will cultivate regardless of you being conscious of it or not. You know,
yeah.
There will be a culture. It might be a shitty culture, but it'll be a culture. So, you know, being conscious of it is always number one. Because if you put thought behind something like, hey, I really want to create a great culture at work and at life. And we don't separate, like, I don't consider work life, personal life. Like, it's just life. What happens at home affects you at work. What happens at work affects you at home. So I'm just, when I talk about things, I go between both categories because I just see them really as one. So, you know, what is that culture look like, being conscious of creating, you know, something that people are proud to be a part of? I think aligning behind a mission is very important. You know, for us, you mentioned earlier that, you know, we make vitamins that people actually enjoy drinking. A big part of why we got into this is because I had athletes coming into my office drinking, you know, these energy drinks or 70-ounce big gulps. And I'm like, you know how much sugar and artificial garbage and adrenal fatigue this crap's going to cause you? Like, there was nothing in the market that was actually beneficial that was still had that kind of cool, sexy, hip lifestyle branding. So being able to align around something that's a greater purpose is huge. Communication is huge, you know?
Yeah.
Being open and really focusing on communication, like, even how are things going? Like, being, you know, open and honest and transparent in the business when things are going great, when things aren't so going so great, what your expectations are of people, right? And treating people, you know, it might sound a little cliche, but treating people how you would want to be treated or how they want to be treated, even more importantly, like, treat people how they want to be treated. And knowing that there's all different personality types. Some people at work, you know, I can totally joke around with. Some people, you know, would take joking around a little bit more personally. Some people I can be very more abrupt and matter of fact. Some people I need to be much more Socratic and nurturing. So getting to know people as human beings, as individuals, you know, treat them how they want to be treated, and then have fun. You know, like I said, it's all just life. It's not like we're just going to grind it out and yeah, work for 20 years and then we reach the end of the rainbow and everything's like great and we get to go on a, you know, a never-ending cruise somewhere. It's like, it's life. We only got one life to live. So if we're not enjoying it, if we're not having fun, if we're not surrounding ourselves with like-minded people that also enjoy life, that add value, that challenge us, that add, you know, diversity of thought, and that becomes what the culture is all about. It's not creating like a homogeneous type of following. It's about creating a fun, dynamic, safe environment that people can thrive and be the best versions of themselves in.
I love that. So what would you say, or what characteristics or skills would you say are most important when you are building a business or you're building your brand in general?
I'd say number one is being conscious of culture, meaning bringing on the right people on your team.
That's good.
Because you could have, let's say you're building a small team, any size team. Say you've got 10 team members, right? You could bring on one team member that is a horrible cultural fit. And in our organization, that would be someone who's always complaining, who's problem focused and not solutions oriented, that's a Debbie Downer, that's talking smack behind people's back, right? That would not be the right fit for our organization. That one person could poison the entire well and poison the entire culture. Intolerance of that behavior then rubs off on everybody else. So yeah, Making sure that you're getting the right people on, and this is a huge mistake, you know, entrepreneurs make that are scaling quickly, is because when you finally come time to hire somebody, you're hiring out of necessity. You're like, oh gosh, this department's about to fall apart. Like, we need somebody, and we needed somebody like last month. And you hire the first qualified person that comes around without paying attention. Are they really the right cultural fit? Is this somebody I'd want to hang out with outside of, you know, the 9 to 5 of work hours? And if the answer is no, then I'd be very hesitant to bring them on, because all it's going to do is cause major problems. It's not going to be the right fit. And getting a divorce at work is, you know, much more challenging than, you know, just bringing on the right person to begin with.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us a little bit about LifeAid and the beverage that you've created. That way I could start diving into a little bit more about your business specifically. So what is LifeAid? Where did that idea get, you know, created, and where was it where you had that aha moment, besides seeing your employees come with shit to work to drink? Where was that created, where you wanted to go ahead and create that LifeAid beverage?
Yeah, we're a functional beverage company. So, what we make is vitamins that people enjoy drinking. So instead of having a one size fits all approach, like most beverage companies do, like if you're an energy drink, you're going to have lots of caffeine, taurine, and probably, you know, artificial sweeteners or a lot of sugar, right? If you're kombucha, you obviously have kombucha. If you're coconut water, you have coconut water. You know, what we did is we took nutritional vitamins and supplements that are specific to particular need states or avocations. So instead of creating a one size fits all drink, we said, okay, what would go in something that would really help with focus? Well, I'm really into nootropics. And so it's like some natural caffeine, some nootropics, some B vitamins, boom, brain health, right? What about FitAid for post-workout recovery, branched chain aminos, glutamine, arginine, immunity aids having its time right now, as you can imagine, echinacea, vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D3. So they're all tailored to specific need states. They're all very clean. So no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, no sodium in any of our drinks. No 2 servings per container BS. We use very high quality ingredients, and we have a low calorie and zero sugar that's also totally naturally sweetened line right now. So
what would you say is your guys' unique selling proposition that makes you guys stand out from the other guys, the competitors that are saying that they're organic, the competitors that are saying that they're all natural? What sets you guys apart from the competition?
Really catering to specific need states, and there's no ambiguity in the name, right? There's other companies out there. I'll pick on like FRS. It's like, well, what does that mean? What's that even for? Even Bai, which, you know, just sold for just under $2 billion. It's like, well, what is Bai? If it says Focus Aid, it has something to do with focus. Fit Aid, it has something to do with fitness. Party Aid, immunity aid. So that's really our unique proposition, is like, if you need that specific thing, the name calls right to you. And then we pass the aha test. And the aha test is 70% of consumers now for consuming consumer products you put in your body, read labels before they purchase that. And I absolutely love that. I love that when a nurse or a nutritionist or a doctor picks up one of our cans, looks on the back because they're looking for red number 36 or this dye or sucralose or aspartame or two servings per container or a ton of sodium, you know, and all the garbage that they're typically going, oh, see, I can't drink that, is not in there. And then they look at what we do put in that. Wow, an efficacious dose here. Oh, an efficacious dose there. Wow, they use a better form of B12. Oh, they, you know, and so that's what sets us apart, is the naming convention, number one, to get people to pick up the can, and number two, what we left out of the ingredient stack, and then what we put into it.
Man, I love that. So anyone that's listening right now, go ahead and check out his beverages. Is it only sold in California, or can we find it on, you know, in the refrigerators of other states?
We are sold nationwide and in 20 countries now. We're in all the Whole Foods, Sprouts, all the Walmarts, Vitamin Shop, HEB, Safeway, Kroger.
That's awesome, man. Hopefully you guys are at Publix, because I'm not a big fan of Kroger. Publix is shit down here in South Florida.
We're rolling out in Publix next week. We're going to start our rollouts.
So. Let's go. That's awesome. Yeah. So if you're listening to this in the South Florida area, make sure you keep on the lookout. I'm going to be dropping this episode in 2 weeks, so make sure you guys go ahead and check it out. So my question for you, Aaron, is obviously you've always had a knack for wanting to help people, right? Being in the health field, not only did you want to probably build confidence within yourself, be healthy within yourself, but you obviously wanted to spread that message to other people. So what has inspired you the most along your journey, and what helps you keep that momentum for your inspiration?
What's inspired me? You know, mentors have just been a really big part of my life, you know, starting with my father and his example, and other mentors along the way, some of which I have very close personal relationships with, some are just mentors from afar.
Yeah.
But you know, seeing people become the best versions of themselves is pretty amazing. And I really have a deep longing to be the best version of myself, the best, you know, husband and father and entrepreneur and business partner. And I've got a long, 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 long way to go. But I'm on the path, and that keeps me very motivated and inspired, and keeps me moving forward every day.
So what are some routines that you do, or what are some strategies that you do so you can keep up with the best version of yourself? So for me, I ask myself powerful questions. When I started wanting to get more ahead of myself, because I feel like I always want to chase that best version of myself, was when I started becoming more conscientious of who I am. And does this serve me? Does this align with my values? So what are some, you know, strategies that you have used to become more of a better person of yourself?
Yeah, I'd say the number one biggest shift I made 10 years ago was starting a morning routine and being consistent with it. My morning routine is typically waking up at 5:45. I'll do 15 minutes of yoga. I'll fill out my 5-minute journal, 3 things that I'm grateful for, 3 things that'll help make today great, 1 self-affirmation. I'll do a quick shower, and then I'll do a cold plunge, where I'll do a round of Wim Hof breathing, hit the cold water. I do like a keto, based brain health coffee in the morning. I'll do a short morning prayer. Then I do the morning ritual questions with my son when I take him to school, like what will help make his day to great, you know, what's he grateful for. And then when we were in the office, I'd go for about a 30-minute walk down to the beach. I'd do another deeper round of Wim Hof breathing. Then I would meditate for 5 minutes and kind of ground myself, my hands or my feet into the sand, and just ground for a couple minutes, and then walk into the office, be ready to rock and roll. I'd say, you know, that's been the biggest shift as far as setting my daily trajectory, which has really had a positive impact on my day and weeks and months and years.
That's awesome. I actually just started getting into the Wim Hof method. I started doing it about a month ago, and it's done some wonders for me. I didn't realize how important taking a second and really understanding your breaths and making sure that you're aligned and being mindful in that moment has done wonders for me. I've suffered from anxiety, and I started feeling that come back again when I started traveling a lot more. And when I started practicing the Wim Hof method, it has just done wonders for me. So I'm glad to hear you do that. What has been for you, at least, some I know that being an entrepreneur, there has been ups and downs. Have you had any ups and downs? And when it comes to the downs, what has been a big downer that you've overcome and that you've, it's been a pivotal portion to your journey?
I've had daily ups and downs. I think the biggest challenge for me as an entrepreneur and as a leader has been, I'm a very emotional person. I've always been that way. And when you're in an emotional state, it can lead to decisions or things that are said that, you know, sometimes after you get a chance to reflect, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that or done that. So getting a chance to, you know, take a deep breath and control my emotions, come at things a little bit more level, be more Socratic in my approach where I'm asking the right questions to get to the end result instead of being more of a dictator about it. Those have been some really good tools. You know, some of the big challenges that we've had, you know, we've had challenges from making some wrong hires early on, like I touched on earlier. We've had a million financial challenges where we've almost gone out of business, you know, a dozen times or more, you know, where we had $3,000 in payroll due and $1,000 in the bank. And then all of a sudden a big check would come in or an investor would join us or, you know, things like that. So there is no lack of challenges. One thing I can tell you about challenges and obstacles, taking the approach that of where you're welcoming the obstacles, like this obstacle that we're in right now with COVID, you have to, Ryan Halliday has a book called The Obstacle is the Way.
Dude, me and you are going to be best friends. I just ordered a bunch of his books. I just finished Stillness is Key, Ego is the Enemy.
Ego is the Enemy, yeah.
Yeah, I just got the Overcoming Obstacles, or it's Obstacle is the Way. There we go.
The Obstacle is the Way, yeah. He's a great author, good dude. I've met him a couple times. But, you know, taking the mindset that the only way that you have growth is through obstacles. The only way. Because if you think about it in your own life, when everything is completely smooth sailing, hunky dory, what do you actually do differently? Mm. Nothing, because you don't want to disrupt how the smooth sailing, right? Yeah. It's only when obstacles are placed in front of us that cause us to change our behaviors, change our patterns, adapt a new skill set in order to grow past the obstacle. So when you start looking at obstacles as like, oh, this is awesome, because I'm going to be a lot better out of this thing. Yeah. And taking that type of an approach and attitude, it changes your whole outlook. So when this thing started hitting, you know, people were going, oh, woe is me, and oh, my business is screwed, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, screw that. Like, we're not only going to survive through this thing, we're going to thrive. So let's take that attitude. How are we going to thrive through this? And let's reverse engineer an outcome that has thrive at the end. Not just survive, but thrive.
I love that, because Inky Johnson says that, you know, when adversity comes, it's when it's really going to show you how much you really wanted it. How will your perspective be different if your performance doesn't come in as a result of what you thought it was going to be? And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs, and not just entrepreneurs, let's be honest, anyone listening to this right now that's an individual entrepreneur, mom, dad, student, I think a lot of people face that, where adversity comes and they're like, damn, why me? Or I'm not growing, or I'm stagnant. And I just got off of an interview with Ed Mylett, and he said it, pain makes you grow. If you don't feel pain, you're not going to really feel progress, because pain is letting you know that opposition is in your way. But guess what? Your vision's bigger. And with great vision comes great opposition. So I love that you just stated that. So diving into that question, what are some tips to get your business to serve your life and not just run your life?
Well, number one, realize that balance, you know, balance in life, which so many people are striving to achieve, doesn't exist from a time perspective. Okay? Yeah. It's impossible, at least in my experience, to have a growing and thriving business and have equal amounts of time put towards the business and towards, you know, your relationship and kids and all of the other things. Like, it's not an equally divided up pie, but that's okay. That doesn't mean there cannot be balance. There just is not time balance. Focus on intention, your balance of intention. Here was my biggest challenge for the first you know, 5 years of this business, and it strained, you know, my relationships big time, especially, you know, with my wife and, you know, going through that. I'd work, and then I'd come home, and then all I would think about at home is what's going on at work and what I got to do. And then I'd be at work, and then I'd be feeling guilty about what I, you know, wasn't showing up at home. And your mind is constantly distracted with what you're not doing. And then you're manifesting, because that's what you're focused on. You're manifesting the very thing that you don't want to manifest, you know, what you're not doing or what you're not good at. And so being intentional, even if you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes with your significant other or with your kids or, you know, whatever relationship or focusing on spirituality or finances, like, make it intentional time. Shut off the distractions, be connected, you know, mano y mano. Like, that's what it's all about. It's about that connection, regardless of how much time it is. It could be an intentional look to somebody where your eyes connect and it lasts for 30 seconds, but that could be the fuel that gets you, you know, that relationship through for the next day or week or month or whatever it is. It's not a time issue, and there is no time balance. Anyone that tells you there is, I think, smoking a little too much
No, definitely. I love that, because I think everyone's trying to find the perfect balance, right? And how I figured it for me is I'm going to be all in wherever I am at, because if I'm at work, I'm going to be all in on my work. If I'm with my kid, I'm all in with my kid. If I'm, you know, somewhere else, I want to be present in that moment, because so many people, I believe it, and I think you would believe the same thing. I'm pretty sure you practice Stoicism or learned about it because of Ryan Holiday. But that's one thing that I've adopted, is being present is so important, because we say we're here, we say we're on this moment, I say I'm on this call, but my head could be somewhere else. I could be doing something else. And that little move of let me shift the being present can do so much for you. So I love that you just stated that. I know I don't have much time with you, so I do want to ask a couple last ending questions. And my one question is, what do you wish you would have known that you know now when you first started?
Good question. What do I wish I would have known? I mean, if I could just rewind and talk to my very younger self, I would just say two things. It's all going to be okay. It always works out. Even in the toughest of times, you know, this too shall pass. It all is going to work out. It always has. We could go back to the beginning of time. The product of us physically being here right now means that the entire lineage of our ancestors were survivors. Because if they didn't survive and have offspring, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So it's all gonna work out. And I'd also really emphasize with my younger self, like, enjoy the ride. You have one life, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the obstacles, enjoy the challenges, enjoy the good times. Take a moment to breathe, take a deep breath, and just be present and connect. And we have one life. It's not, I mean, who the hell wants to grind it out their whole life and then, you know, potentially be, you know, old and crippled in your 70s or whatever, and then start trying to have fun? It's like, it makes no sense, you know? Yeah. So, you know, enjoy the ride. And that's the biggest piece of advice I got from all the, you know, my entrepreneurial friends that had kind of already made it. And I always used to think, like, screw you guys, you got millions of dollars in the bank. I'm totally broke.
Yeah.
I'm living in a trailer. I'm eating tuna and mac and cheese every night, you know, and I've got almost $300,000 in student loan debt, and you're telling me to enjoy the ride. But that was my ego talking, you know. Now that I've got a little bit more maturity, I go, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I love that so much, because so many people will throw in the towel, right? Or so many people have that pity party. And I think that a lot of people have the victim mindset instead of the victor mindset, because they think of, well, this is only happening to me. And that's why I created Power Talk, because I don't only want to speak to entrepreneurs, I want to speak to everyone, because I know a lot of people that have that mindset where, man, it's easy for Aaron to say that. He has a, you know, multi-million dollar company. It's easy for Myla to say that. He's a millionaire. But when you think of it, what was the process to get there? The journey has always been hard. There's always been, problems. There's always been obstacles, but every time you overcome it, I'm sure that you leveled up differently. So now when I see a problem, I get excited, honestly. When I see a problem coming up, I'm like, oh, what's about to happen when I overcome this? What's the great thing behind it? So it fires me up. Now, just to ask you, how would you define success for you? For me, I believe that success is a different version for me every season of my life. Once I complete that season, now success is something different. Success is a higher meaning for me. So for you, how would you define success?
By how many people show up to my funeral.
Oh, that's powerful.
And the reason I say that is, you know, I believe there are no neutral interactions in life. We're either making a deposit or a withdrawal from people's emotional bank account. And if you go through life and you're constantly making emotional deposits with everybody that you meet, then the church is going to be packed at the funeral, right? Because people want to show that you impacted their life. So I think that is a great measure of impact, and I guess impact I'm exchanging with success, because that, you know, that's what really it's all about. You know, am I leaving the world a better place than when I got into it? You know,
man, and, I love that.
Am I changing people's trajectory in a positive way?
Man, how are you aligned? Or what's your trajectory and what's the momentum for it? ATM. So
ATM.
If you're listening to this right now, you guys, seriously run that part back, because that's really powerful. Jesse Itzler talks about writing your own letter to yourself, like your own what is it when someone speaks, your eulogy, writing your own eulogy to yourself. And would you be happy if you were to die today and someone wrote your eulogy, what would they say? And yeah. I wasn't in a good place when he said that. I thought I was in a good place, but then I started thinking, I'm like, man, I'm not really talking to my family. I'm not really being the best version of me. So I think that's really powerful. And just to know what your insight is, what's your insight on the difference between hope and faith?
Hope and faith. Hope and faith. You know, I'm not quite sure. I'd have to think about that one a little bit. I have both hope and faith. I'm trying to differentiate, you know, in my mind. You know, hope is faith in a better future. I think if I use them both in the same sentence.
Yeah. I mean, this answer is just an answer just to hear your insight on it. I always like to hear everyone that has a very open mindset to being conscious and being more aware, just to know that answer. So don't worry. I've stumped a couple of people with that question, but just to wrap it up, my last question for you, Aaron, is if you could have dinner with any legend, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
It just has to be one. I'd want a full table full of people.
You see, I used to have three. I used to say three, but then it started stumping people. People were like, man, I don't know. Man, this is so hard. So then I went it down to one person. But if you want, go ahead and answer it. Who are the legends that you would sit and eat with and why?
Okay, living. Living, I'd go with Richard Branson.
Awesome.
Just because he's an entrepreneur that I could relate with most, just as far as like style. And, you know, I'm not a techie guy, even though I grew up in the tech boom. I was an econ business major for whatever reason. So
yeah,
I didn't have a technical background, and neither does he, but he's just a master of branding. So really respect, you know, him and everything that he's done. And I've heard him speak and I have access, so I will do that. I'm not going to say I may someday. I will do that. Dead, I'm going to say, gosh, that's a good one too. There's so many figures that I would love to get insight of their mind, you know, from MLK to, you know, like some of our founding fathers. I mean, just the balls that these guys had to be like, I mean, people don't even realize what, you know, they had prices on their head. They like,
and
you know,
they
basically
care. They still stood up for
what they did and the brilliance of the Constitution, the document that they drafted, and just amazing. And then of course I got to throw Jesus in there too.
No, definitely.
That would be, obviously would be amazing to sit down someone that has changed the entire course of history the way he has.
You know, I always say, and I've gotten asked this question, and I was just like very hesitant on answering it because I'm like, man, these people are going to judge me. But if I really had to, I would probably pick Napoleon Hill, Jesus Christ, Hitler, and definitely Abe Lincoln. And for me, I think all those guys were super powerful. I'm not saying I support Hitler, so anybody listening to this right now, I'm not like, hey, hell Hitler. But I am just kind of fascinated with the fact that he built up such a military strategy and had took over a country and had a mindset to do that. I want to dig more in and ask him questions and just, what the fuck were you thinking, man? Like, you know, just like, it's crazy, but I'm glad you shared that with me, Aaron. And if you can, let the people know where they can find you, your product, and what's to be expected from your company soon that we could be all on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mentioned the retailers you can find us at. You can also find us on our website, LifeAid, A-I-D, LifeAidBevCo.com, or on Amazon. For me personally, it's Aaron Hind, H-I-N-D-E, on typically Instagram or LinkedIn. What to expect from us? Instead of what to expect from us, I'm going to leave people with just a little parting words here that I think are very relevant right now. We touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, I believe, you know, we talk about Jesus. St. Paul said there's two types of people in this world, people that come hither and people from afar, that watch from afar. Basically, people that come up and engage in life and people that stay up. I think there's two types of people as well. People that point fingers outward, that are always victims, like it's that everything is happening to them. And there's people that point the fingers inward. And as Tony Robbins says, you know, life is happening for me. And there's huge opportunity right now with everything that's going on and in the chaos. And I've been through 9/11. I've been through the housing and economic bubble. You know, I've been through the dot-com bubble. There are always huge opportunities coming out of any crisis or perceived crisis. Mm-hmm. Point the finger inward, take responsibility, take massive action, and figure out how can I provide unique value in this crazy time that's going on right now. And I don't care what industry it is. You could throw any industry at me. Like if I'm a restaurateur, my restaurant's shut down. Well, guess what? People can't get toilet paper right now and that kind of thing. Like restaurant supply lines are totally different than direct to consumer. The distribution's different. I'd be selling, you know, I'd be taking advantage of Uber Eats. I'd be selling wholesale stuff to my consumer base from things that I typically didn't sell. Maybe I'm selling them slabs of meat and fresh veggies or whatever. Like there's so many things that you can pivot in real time if you go, I got this, I can handle this, and you've got a good team around you and a support network and you're all about getting shit done. So have confidence, have faith. It's okay that, you know, we get a little on an emotional roller coaster right now, but at the end of the day, dust yourself off and keep moving forward. There are massive opportunities that are going to be created from this time for those that have the ingenuity to take advantage of them.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for being on the Power Talk. You're definitely someone to follow and keep on the lookout for. And one thing that I love that you just said is pivot. I always say that pivoting is like the answer when a problem arises. You think of a basketball player about to make a three-point shot. He can't make it if someone's blocking him, and he's not going to go ahead and just throw the ball away. What he's going to do is use his pivot toe or his pivot foot to pivot and figure out a way to win or figure out a way to make that shot. So I love that you said pivoting. I'm big on the P words, pivoting, process, positioning. That way you can really thrive in life. So thank you so much, Aaron, for being on the Power Talk. It's been a pleasure. And if we can go ahead and take a photo so we could go ahead and show off that we are with the man, the myth, the legend. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. Thanks again, Aaron. I really do appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.